good morning, everyone. I hope that you're doing well. I hope you're getting a great start to your Sunday morning. We're going to get started here in just about 2 minutes. Get prepared. Get your home prepared. Get your place of worship prepared. Get your family prepared. We're going to worship the Lord together just shortly. Once again, good morning. I hope that you're locked on now, and we're just going to pray that God keep all the connections up and running and strong and not cutting out today. But even if it does, won't you hang in there with us? If you lose connection altogether, we've got a backup video going that will be uploaded to the website and also YouTube, and those links will be out on Facebook not too long after the service today for you to access in that way. But as we get ready to go into this time of worship, we were just sitting here in the sanctuary and just kind of talking about how weird things are right now and how different things are right now. And I know that it's even a different way to worship, where you're used to sitting in your seat and standing in the pews and being close to that familiar face in the pew in front of you or behind you, and now you may be sitting on a couch or sitting around a dinner table, and maybe even in a car, or if you're out there working today, you may be sitting somewhere in a break room. But and it can be difficult to kind of get into that mindset of worship in those scenarios. But my prayer today is that you would be able to get there and be able to focus in, even in this strange way of worship and the Word. And so as we get ready to sing this song today, it's a very familiar song that I think most all of you know. But my prayer is that you, right where you're at, you would sing this in your home. Sing this as almost as a prayer over your home and in your home today, with your children or your spouse, or if you're there by yourself, that you would just sing this song aloud. You don't have to worry about anybody laughing at you for singing off pitch, right? I mean, you're in your home. You can sing off pitch as much as you want to. You can clap off beat. It's not going to mess me up. You'll be just fine. But just make a joyful noise to the Lord this morning, right? So if you know it, let's sing this song together. We're just going to invite His Spirit into this place where we're at and into the place where you're at today. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare your living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen is undone. the Holy Spirit.
Your presence, Lord.
bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. Yes, your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Bridge of that song
but our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. That particular line takes me back to the passage of the Valley of Dry Bones. The Bible says that bones were spread all across the valley, dried up, scattered. But as the prophet began to speak over them, the bones began to shake and rattle. And they began to link back up with each bone that belonged to itself. And began to form people once again. And the Bible says that flesh and bone and muscle and tissue were placed back on the bones. And this great army that was scattered all across the valley rose up together. And I believe that what we're experiencing in our land today is a shaking of the church. That Christians have been like dry bones. Our churches have been scattered and divided. But the word of the Lord is going out above the bones today. And there is breath and there is life coming back into the church. And they're going to stand up, and we're going to stand up as one, as an army as which we were meant to be. And begin to take back the land that has been stolen from us. Begin to take back what the enemy has stolen. So I pray that you feel that wind of his presence in your home today. He begins to speak that life over you and into you. That we would all rise up. Become one again. Let's sing that bridge one more time before we get into the word today. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. I'm going to sing it out in your homes today and all the earth. And all the COVID-19. It's not anything too serious, but being how things are in the world today, he wanted to stay isolated in the home and safe in quarantine, but he's watching on his phone at the house as we speak. But we have Brother Chris Crane with us today. He's going to share a word with us, and so at this point, I would probably be telling you to give him a hand clap as he came up, but if you still want to do that in your home amongst your family, do that as Brother Chris Crane comes and shares a word with us this morning.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to be here in the sanctuary of Valley Creek Baptist Church. And I have tremendous respect for your pastor, Bob Weber. What a tremendous man of God, a great leader, and a friend to me. I bring you greetings on behalf of 180 churches, 50 of them here in the Bessemer area. We're in a partnership with you guys and 130 in the Birmingham metro area. And we've been walking together knowing that God can do so much more through us when we partner together and we work together in the kingdom work. And so I'm grateful to be a part of a family of 100,000 church members of Southern Baptist churches across the Birmingham metro area. And to see what God can do, that's truly remarkable. I have a great seat to do that. Just this past week, we've been cleaning up after storms, going door by door, sharing the gospel with people who've had difficulty by leaving them a Bible, praying at their doorstep, not going inside, but letting them know that we're there and we're in the community, we're cleaning up, and we're making a difference after the storms that we experienced on Easter Sunday. Also, it's amazing to see what we on a bigger scale can do. Hundreds of thousands of masks and medical equipment delivered by the North American Mission Board, our partners across the nation. So 15 million Southern Baptists all across the world. And we right now are not in our local churches, most of us worshiping together, but God has decentralized us so that we can do amazing things for His glory, worshiping with our families at home, praying, serving our neighbors, being there for our families, supporting our medical professionals during this very difficult time. So I just want to say thank you for being a part of all that, being a part of that great family that we call our Baptist brothers and sisters. Thank you, Valley Creek, for what you stand for who you are. But most of all, beyond being a Baptist, I'm most grateful that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Thank you for being a Christian. If you're at home worshiping, if you're on your front porch, if you're sitting at your kitchen table, isn't it good to know that Jesus Christ is our only way? He is the truth. He's the life. He's our Savior. He is our friend. And if we're self-isolating, we're social distancing, we're still near to Christ. And we're near to each other. You're in Christ, and Christ is in you, and the same is true for me. So together right now, wherever you are, we're together in Christ. I prayed about what message I'd like to share with Valley Creek this morning, and God led me to 2 Timothy. So if you have your copy of God's Word nearby, I'd love for you to take that. We're going to read that in just a moment, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 7, 2 Timothy. But before we get into that, I just want to say the title of our message today is Spiritual Encouragement. So if you're discouraged today, if you're upset, maybe it's over your job, maybe someone in your family is sick, or maybe you're having a difficult time being away from your friends, your family, your colleagues at work, or you're struggling right now, I want you to receive from God's Word today some spiritual encouragement from His Word today. I know that I have needed encouragement at important times in my life when I felt discouragement. Several years ago, my wife and I had been married for 9 years with no children, and we enjoyed our time together. We were able to take trips together and do some just great things as couples. But we knew that it was God's will that He would bring a child into our home. And we were desperately longing for that. We were seeking after that. We didn't know how He would do it. But one day we were at a worship event at a church in the Birmingham area. And the worship artist, he took a break from the music. And he showed a video on the screen about the plight of children in orphanages. It was in that moment that we sensed God calling us to adopt a child into our home. And so we began that long process. If you're an adoptive parent or if you have adopted children in your family, you know that there's a lot of things you have to do in order to make that a reality. So we began to go through that. And then we boarded a plane and we traveled 17 hours to the other side of the world, to Taipei, Taiwan. And in a beautiful moment, the social worker there placed into our arms a beautiful 5-month-old baby girl. And we got back on the plane, boarded that plane for that 17-hour plane ride back to Birmingham Shuttlesworth Airport. And I'll never forget, while we were in flight, Carol leans over and I'm holding this squalling infant in my arms. And And she says something to me just as I was eating the pretzels that they give you, you know, the tiny little bag. And she says, "Honey, I think I'm expecting." And right then I began to choke on the pretzels and the little tiny cans of soda they give you. They're not enough to wash that down. And I just couldn't believe that. I began to think, "Oh Lord, how could this be?" And we get back home, get off the plane, this beautiful child that God has given us. And we went through the medical test, and yes, my wife was expecting. And so she goes through 8 months of carrying this child. We're praying for this child, and we have this beautiful baby the Lord has given us by adoption. And one day I'm at my office, and I'm preparing a message for my congregation on God's faithfulness. And I get this phone call, and Carol's on the other line, and she's saying, "You've got to come home." She's frantic. So we go to the doctor's office, and they admit her immediately to the hospital. And this child that my wife had carried, that we were so excited about, we had this beautiful child by adoption, and God was blessing us with this child by birth. This child was stillborn. And that was a very difficult thing for us to walk through, because I felt guilty. How could I grieve and mourn when you've given us this beautiful child by adoption? When, you know, how could I grieve the loss of this child that my wife has carried? How can I support her through all that she's facing? And this wonderful man of God, who had gone through infant loss in his own family, he mentored me. He put his hand on my shoulder. He began to pray for me and walk me through that difficult time in my life. And I know that there are times in our lives when we need spiritual encouragement. And this was that kind of time for Timothy in the text we're about to read. Paul, his mentor, a man of God who had served the Lord. He had gone on 3 missionary journeys. He had been put in prison in Rome, and most Bible scholars believe he was released from prison. And he may have went on a short 4th missionary journey, but now he was back in a Roman prison, or he was in arrest there at least. And now he was writing what would become his final letter to this young protege, this young man that he invested his life into, Timothy. And he begins to encourage him in a very dark time in history. In 64 AD, Nero had begun to persecute the church, and it was an empire-wide persecution, and the people were concerned. They were under tremendous pressure. And here was this young man pastoring a church in Ephesus. It was a very difficult place to pastor. It was a very dark, spiritually, place where they worshipped Artemis, also known as Diana. And the people there that were one to faith, they were up against just tremendous odds. And so this young pastor needed this word from his mentor. And maybe you're listening right now, and you're watching, and you need a word of encouragement. Let me begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as did my intercessors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you, constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in sufferings for the gospel by the power of God. May we pray. Oh God, we thank you for this wonderful word from the Bible. This Bible, written over 1,400 years, with 40 different writers involved, but yet one Holy Spirit who is the author. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open up our hearts, open up our minds, so that we might hear what you are saying to the church today. what you're saying to everyone who's worshiping right now. Lord, I pray that you would help us during this difficult time. Lord, that you would be with all of those who are on the front lines as they battle in this war against an unseen, invisible enemy during this pandemic. Lord, be with medical professionals, be with scientists. Lord, be with all of those who are in leadership positions. But Lord, most of all, be with your church. Help us to be the light, the hands, the feet of Christ, wherever we are. Lord, show us what you want to say, what you want to speak to us through the scriptures today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to share with you three principles from this text today about spiritual encouragement. And I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart, will help you to be encouraged through God's word as we look at it a little more closely. The first thing that I want to show you, the first principle, is back in verses 4 through 6, and it's this. We need to remember God's work in our lives. We need to remember God's work in our lives. If you look back in verse 4, Paul says, as I remember. Paul is reflecting back when he was in Timothy's presence, perhaps that last moment in time that he spent with him. He's thinking about how special, how important Timothy is to him, and how God is using this young man to advance the gospel and to share the truth of God's word. He says, I remember. He says, I remember your tears. Timothy was a passionate young man. He wasn't phoning it in. He was there with his people. He loved to share the word of God and to pastor and to lead. I remember your tears. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I don't know if you found this to be true, but there are people who can light up a room by just walking in. But there are also people who can light up a room by walking out. And I don't want to be in that second category. I want to be someone that brings joy, Christian, godly joy, to the people who are around me. I want to help people feel that God is for them, that God loves them, that God is a God who cares for them. And I want to let that exude from my presence whenever I'm with someone. And I hope you're that way. I hope you want to share the love of God wherever you are and whatever you do. But I think Timothy, at this point in his life, as he was ministering to the church in Ephesus, he needed to be reminded that although the circumstances were very difficult, that God had invested into Timothy's life everything that he would need to face the challenge. And he goes on, if you look in verse 5, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Timothy was a man who had a genuine life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. He wasn't just living out a moral life. He wasn't depending on his own virtue to have that connection with God. He wasn't resting all of his faith and trust in religion. He had a real life-transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. He had a sincere faith. He says, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I believe that watching this streaming of the worship service today, there are people, women of God, who are important and integral members here at Valley Creek Baptist Church. Without you, much of the ministry that goes on here in this beautiful sanctuary on this campus, but beyond the walls of this church, wouldn't happen if it weren't for God using you, because you are faithful women of God. I want to tell you, woman of God, you come from a great heritage. You come from women like Eunice and Lois, who had invested in Timothy's life. As we read in God's word and understand more about who Timothy was, his father was probably not a proselyte. He never came to that saving relationship with Jesus Christ. He wasn't a convert to Judaism either. He was a Greek. And he did not embrace, as far as we can tell, the faith in the one true God. But thank God, Timothy had these women in his life who shared God's word. And so when Paul came through Lystra on his second missionary journey, and he stumbled upon this young man by God's providence, he wasn't picking green fruit. God had already prepared Timothy because of these godly women in his life. And so I want to remind you this morning, as you watch and you participate in this worship service, that God has invested in your life. He has prepared you for such a time as this. And so if you're discouraged and if you're thinking about all that's going on around you in the world today and how difficult it is, I want to remind you that God has already invested in you and He's prepared you for this time. And let me remind you of this as well. God, who has been faithful in the past, is now being faithful in the present in your life. And that indicates to us that He will be faithful in the future. So I want to remind you, as we look at God's Word, that He is at work in your life. Second principle that I want to point out here in this text, and we're going to move down to verse 7. Paul in verse 6 had talked about this great gift that Timothy had received. It was a gift to minister to the church, the body of Christ. And Paul had laid hands on him, perhaps a reference to his ordination for young Timothy. And in verse 7, he begins to show Timothy how of all those gifts that God had given him, that ministry that God had called him to, how that God had given him a special presence in him. And he says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear. Did you notice that? God gave us a spirit, not of fear. So God had gifted Timothy. He had a wonderful Christian heritage. He had given him this gifting and this calling. And he reminds him, secondly, this second principle is so important, that timidity and fear are not from God. Timidity and fear are not from God. It would have been easy for Timothy to throw in the towel and to become very afraid. If you look back in the book of Acts, we won't do that right now, but there was a great riot that went on in Ephesus after Demetrius had raised concerns. Demetrius was a silver coppersmith, and he fashioned idols in Ephesus after the goddess Artemis or Diana. And because Paul went in and preached Jesus, people began to cast away their idols, and the idol business wasn't as good anymore. And so Demetrius was very concerned. There was a great riot that went on there. That's just to show you the spiritual climate of that place, a very dark place, a very, very difficult place. It reminds me, perhaps, of the first time I'd ever visited the French Quarter in New Orleans as a young boy. I remember going there, and I'd never been to a place like that. There's some wonderful people in New Orleans. I spent many years studying there in school, in seminary, so I have great respect and love for people there. So I'm not saying that everyone there is dark or evil, but when you go down to the French Quarter and you go down certain streets where there are voodoo shops and there are people who practice spiritualism and the occult, you can just sense the darkness there. And I can only imagine Timothy walking through the streets of Ephesus and trying to witness for Jesus Christ and share the gospel with people around him, how discouraging at times it could have been. And so Paul says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. And so, church, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of COVID-19 and all that's going on, we are not afraid. We know that our God, who by the very word of his mouth created all that we see and experience, even things we haven't seen, God is a great God, the great creator. He is also the sustainer of all creation. And we can trust him. He has great power. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, we understand, you and I, that there is a such thing as a holy fear, a righteous fear, a reverence, if you will, of God. But that kind of fear, the fear of knowing who God is and how awesome he is and how mighty he is, that kind of fear does not separate us from God. That kind of fear draws us to God, because we know if there's a God that great, that powerful, a God who loves us so much that he would send his only begotten son to die on the cross for us, to overcome death and sin and hell and the grave by rising again on the third day. If he is that incredible, we want to know him. So that kind of fear draws us to God. But there's this ungodly fear, a fear of God that separates us. And so many in the world today are afraid. So I'm praying for you that you would not have a spirit of timidity or fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. And so if we have a love for God, a love that comes from God, that kind of love, a love that comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it will cast out all fear. You know, I was thinking recently about the opposite of fear. And for me, as I study it, it's probably peace. The opposite of fear is peace. And God's word promises us peace. You know, when we pray to Him, we refuse to embrace anxiety, but we reach out to Him, as Paul taught the Philippian church. And we submit everything to Him in prayer. His perfect love, His perfect peace can come and take root in our heart. And that's what I'm praying for you. Someone told a story about these two artists that were competing to paint the perfect picture of peace. What would peace look like if you were to paint it as a picture? And this one artist, he painted this beautiful sunset. Oh, it's the most magnificent picture you would ever see with oil and canvas. Just a beautiful sunset with all the light across the spectrum. You could see it across an ocean and the sand in front of it. Just a beautiful sunset. And it was a beautiful picture. But there was the other artist. He decided to take a different vantage point, different look at what peace could be like. And so he painted this stormy sky, this raging lightning. You could just see the wind blowing through trees. And there was this huge rock and a crevice there. And in the rock, there was this nest with a bird there that was between the rock, in the middle there, sheltered from the wind and the rain. And the bird in the picture, you could tell, was singing. And when the judge looked at both pictures, he said, "I have to choose this bird in the cleft of the rock that's singing, because that's peace. In the midst of the storm, when we're singing, because we know that things are going to be all right, that God is with us." Third principle that I want to share with you from this text is in the second part of verse 7. If you look on in the text, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Power and love and self-control. Third principle from the text is that the gift of the Holy Spirit's empowerment is available to every believer. When you are born again on your spiritual birthday, whenever that was for you, God gave you, of course, the gift of His indwelling Spirit. And that's a precious gift. It was promised by our Lord and Savior when He was in the upper room with His disciples before He went to the cross and died for our sins. He promised of that great Comforter, the Helper, who would come. And He had to go away so that the Comforter, the third person of the Godhead, could come and dwell in us. And so I'm grateful for that. But when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, came to live in you on the day you were born again, He brought with Him a spiritual gift, or many spiritual gifts. And that's a beautiful thing. If you look back at three primary texts in God's Word, Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those are the three primary texts in the New Testament that talk about our spiritual gifts. And maybe you know what your spiritual gifts are. I have taken these inventories. You know, a little test that you can get. You can go to lifeway.com and you can find something that will help you think about those spiritual gifts that you may have. I think that's a good thing to do. And I remember as a young man taking those inventories, and every question that it would ask that seemed like it would lend toward being called to preach or pastor a church, I would put least likely. because I knew that I didn't want to do that. So I was trying to play against the test, game the test, to get the outcome I wanted. I did not want to be a preacher. I just wanted to be an encourager. I wanted to be someone who had the gift of helps. I didn't really want to lead in a local congregation. And so in spite of me not scoring well on the preaching or the pastoring element of that, God decided to call me anyway. And so God called me to preach. He gave me a spiritual gift to lead in a congregation. And for 23 years before becoming a director of missions, I pastored a church, and we had two locations, and I traveled 18 miles between those two locations and preached to our people and loved those people, and they loved me, and they invested in my life and my family, and they are the reason the way I am today. They've given me anything that's good about me. They had a part in that, and I'm so grateful for the gifts of the body of Christ and how God knows perfectly what we need. And so you have a gift. Maybe you have a gift to administrate or to help. You have a gift of hospitality. I'm sure this COVID-19 pandemic's hard on you because you want to do for people and be around people. Maybe you have a gift to teach, and you want to get back in a Sunday school class. You want to be around children again. I know that's difficult for you. I want to encourage you to find unique ways that God can use your giftedness right now and prepare for whatever the future holds as we move forward in the church today. But I want you to know this. Whatever your spiritual gift is, God gave you three bonus gifts right here in this text. He gave you power, He gave you love, and He gave you a sound mind. If you will only accept those gifts. First of all, power. This comes from the Greek word dunamios, which is the word from which we get our English word dynamite. So He's given you this powerful ability to do what is humanly impossible. Think about that. Through the Holy Spirit's power, you can do so much more. And unlike dynamite in the physical sense, this power is not a destructive force. This power is a constructive force. It's a power that brings us together. So He has given you that spiritual power today. So you can claim that on the authority of God's word. He's given you dunamios. He's given you power. He's also given you love. Love. It's a beautiful text, isn't it? We look over in 1 John that God is love. That of all the characteristics, all of the qualities of who God is, that His word chooses to use that one to explain to us the essence of God. God is the love. And when we look through the pages of Scripture, we find this unique love that from the original language is the word that we transliterate agape. So this Christian love, it's unique. This agape love, if you study classical Greek, agape love is almost unheard of. You look through certain Greek texts, classical Greek works, you don't find that word really, but you look in the pages of the New Testament, you find agape love. It is a selfless love. It is a love that transcends a human love. It's a love that can only come from God and through a relationship with God. And His word promises us that He has given this to us. So if you grew up without a father who loved you, or you grew up in a dysfunctional home, or right now your marriage isn't everything that it needs to be, and you don't feel like anyone loves you, or you have an estranged relationship with your children, or you are struggling right now because you're isolated and alone, I want to tell you on the basis of this text today that God loves you, and that God has given you His love. And then a third precious gift that God has given to us is a sound mind. The old King James Version puts it this way. God has given you a sound mind. The text that I read this morning from a modern translation uses the word self-control. So what that means is He's given you stability in turbulent times. He's given you the ability to hold things together under pressure. That's literally what it means. So God has given you a sound mind. Look at that in the scripture. Claim that from God's word. So this gift of the Spirit that he's given to you is so important right now. As you may be tempted to panic, you may be anxious and fretful, know this, God has given you a sound mind. I'm grateful that God can use us. He used Timothy, who we read in the scripture had struggles. Paul told Timothy to not let people look down on him because of his age, him being rather young. He had struggles physically. Paul told him to take a little medicinal wine for his stomach. He may have struggled with worries or anxieties. He wasn't perfect. He's like you and I. But nonetheless, God used him. God was with him, and Paul encouraged him. So spiritual encouragement is so important right now. I'm just going to repeat those three principles quickly so you get them. Number one, we need to be reminded of God's work in our lives. Number two, timidity and fear are not from God. And number three, the gift of the Holy Spirit's empowerment is available to every believer. That's you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So what do we do in response to this word from the scriptures today? Well, we know if we read on in God's word in the book of Revelation that Ephesus, even though Timothy perhaps was their pastor, still wasn't the perfect church. They had struggles, they had problems. And you read in Revelation, Jesus wrote a personal letter to this very church. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, he says to the church in Ephesus, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and return to your first works." Paul had worked with the Ephesian church through Timothy and helped them to grow, but they didn't stay at that level. They began to decline. They began to slide back, as we would say in times past. But now, in the end of God's word, in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ had to remind them again, you need to remember where you were and repent and get back to those things that matter. Maybe you need that encouragement this morning. I want to close this message with just a short testimony about my wife. She was raised one of seven children on the backside of a strip mine, not too far away from here in Walker County. And she lived in abject poverty. One of seven children, a three-room house, not a three-bedroom house. And she had her little corner of the room and all those children, the mother taking care of things. Her father was critically ill from the time my wife was just a little girl. And by the time my wife was a teenager, her father became terminally ill. His health began to decelerate. He began to unravel. And he died at his home. And what happened next is very sad. The mother, she began to just emotionally fray and come apart. And she did the unthinkable. She brought a man into the home that was not her husband. And to really make this long story short, he was not a good man. And Carol, at that time a teenage girl, began to tell her mother, "You've got to get him out of our house. He's not good to us. Please get him out of our house." But her mother did not listen to her. As a matter of fact, she did the opposite. She kicked her own teenage daughter out. And so Carol went to her corner of the room. She packed everything that she could that was hers into a duffel bag. And she walked to the end of that country road that she lived on to this little church, a little small Baptist church with just a couple dozen people, a place where she had walked to on her own on many occasions before, because that was the only place she knew that she can find help and hope and healing. But the trouble was, this wasn't a Sunday. It was during the week. But by God's providence, the volunteer youth pastor was coming by the church to pick up some things he would need for the next Sunday. He was a parts manager at a car dealership, and He was a volunteer there at the church. And as he pulled through the parking lot, he saw this skinny, freckled, redheaded girl standing with her belongings at her feet, crying. And he set in motion some things in her life that changed the trajectory of her future forever. And if it wasn't for him receiving that encouragement from God, that he, even though he was a volunteer there, even though he wasn't an ordained minister, he wasn't a social worker, he was willing to step into a situation with courage and to use the gifts that God had given him to minister to her. If he hadn't done that, then I wouldn't be married to the pastor's wife, her, today, like she is. She's a remarkable woman of God. And God is using her now. She's a special needs teacher. And she has a heart and a compassion that's born out of a lot of pain and experiences. And so if you're watching and you're worshiping with us today, I want to encourage you to use those spiritual gifts that God has given to you to make a difference for the gospel. Can we pray together? Lord, we're so grateful to worship today with Valley Creek Baptist Church. What a tremendous congregation this is. Lord, I pray that you would be with each member. Lord, bless them. Lord, I pray that you would be with those who are watching this worship message via streaming or by recording. Lord, that you would be with them. And Lord, if there's someone today that is watching this that does not have that spiritual encouragement because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your Son, that they would pray to you something like this. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that without your love, without your intervention in my life, Lord, I will spend an eternity separated from you. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. You rose again. I believe in you. I trust in you. I want to follow you today. Lord, I pray for anyone who has prayed a prayer like that and has meant that, Lord, that you would help them to make those next steps, to connect here with Valley Creek Baptist Church, to walk as a new believer, to be discipled, to be baptized, to follow you and grow in their faith. Lord, I pray that you would be with us today. Thank you for this time of worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing this chorus together as we close out today. One that all of us knows. Just a reminder of what Jesus did on that cross. We celebrated the cross and the death and the resurrection last Sunday, but in all honesty, that's something we could celebrate 52 weeks out of the year. Let's sing it together. Jesus paid it all. Pastor Bob and your prayers out there today that he would get better. Anybody else out there struggling in your body or in your mind, just know that we're praying for you this week. God loves you. We're going to make it through this together. So be blessed today. Have a great rest of your Sunday and a great week next week. On things, I know many of you have probably already seen things on the news about different parts of the country opening up and different things changing. Just know that we're praying here at Valley Creek and preparing here at Valley Creek for what's to come and how to reopen and what that looks like. And so just be praying with us during this time of what that looks like and how we can be wise and be people of faith when it comes to that in the coming weeks. We love you and have a great day.